Yesterday we began to explore the sugya. Yesterday we began to explore the sugya of Ner Chanukah. And we saw so far two kashas, two curiosities. Number one, in the midst of the opening blot of the sugyas of specific, not only Chanukah, but Ner Chanukah, Chaf Aleph Amud Beis, in response specifically to a question of what's the backstory for all of this, Al Ezer Neis Kiva Uha, as Rashi says, my Chanukah, the Gemara responded with a brisa that tells the story of Chanukah, specifically the Neis Hashemen, and speaks of four different dinim of Chanukah, none of which, according to Rashi, is Ner Chanukah. Isser Hesped, Isser Tainus, Hallel, and Hodah, which for Rashi is Al Anisim. Hallel Dover, who Iker Chasim and Asefer. You're in the middle of the halachas of Ner Chanukah. You quote a brisa to give background, and it mentions every din of Chanukah but Ner Chanukah. What's Prat? Very, very strange. So we had several suggestions yesterday, one of which was that the Rambam clearly disagrees. Rishalti points out the Rambam and the Riaz translate Hodah to mean Ner Chanukah. So that solves the problem. But Rashi clearly disagrees. Rashi says the term Hodah in that Braisa means what it means throughout Shas in a Tefillah context. It means the Bracha of Modim, and specifically the fact that you add Al Anisim to enhance and elaborate on the general Hodah of Modim with the Chanukah specific piece. So then, in which case, if Hodah means Al Anisim, then Ner Chanukah doesn't appear in the Braisa. So that was Kasha number one. Kasha number one is that Ner Chanukah is chaser. He's missing the brisa of my Chanukah. Lefi Rashi. Question number two was Moser Shevin Shevinir. Tomorrow morning, Shaila. This morning, according to the Shiltos, what's unique about this morning is that's the last time that you can reuse leftover nair, leftover oil. This morning we're going to, last night was 7, tonight's going to be 8. So the morning of the 7th, he said, you can still reuse the oil if there was, I noticed on the way out of the house today, one of my neighbors didn't burn down to the bottom. So even the Shilta says, I could still make use of that oil, I can repurpose it when I fill up the nairs later today for tonight. So you could use that oil, just top it off, and light it for tonight. But, as the Shilta said, Rush quoted from the Shiltas, from the Kufas Agonim, but tomorrow morning, if there's any leftover oil, Chalila, you can't touch that oil. It has to also madur, but if you're not, you have to make a separate fire, burn it, you can't use it, can't use it for salad, can't use it for secular, mundane lighting. You cannot use the oil because it was used what? Because it was in a Ner Chanukah. Is Vas. The Gemara Megillah says Beferish. We saw yesterday. Bryce, the beginning of Perek B'nei Ha'ir. The Bryce said, Tashmishe Mitzvah, Tashmishe Kedusha. Right? Only Tashmishe Kedusha have to go into Geniza. Only Tashmishe Kedusha have a permanent Kedusha that endures even after the Zman HaMitzvah is done. Ritzuas of Tefillin, what you wrap the cloth of the mezuzah in, those things are permanent Kedusha, even if it's decommissioned. Yeah, it has to go into Sheamus. It has to go into Geniza. But the lulav, the hadasim, the shofar, the sukkah, the tzitzis, once the Zman HaMitzvah is up, either because Yontif is gone or because the tzitzis are worn out or whatever it is, shine. So then there's no longer any kedusha left. You can't be mevazet, but you do not have to put tzitzis into Sheamus. You could wrap it up neatly, put it in a nice bag and put it in the garbage, or you could use it for something else. You could repurpose it. So why can't you repurpose your shemen of Ner Chanukah if you're allowed to repurpose a shofar or not in a derech bizayon, but a derech kavod? I'll use it for something else. I'll use it for my anigram. Why not? That was kasha number two. The she'iltos shver Rashi Chaf Aleph Amud Beis. The shver Shilta is quoted by the Russian Perek Beis Simon Tes. A third kasha, and finally a fourth kasha, and the fourth kasha we will enable us to pull everything together. A third kasha, the third and fourth kashas both take us back to the opening segment of the Chanukah sugyas. How did the Gemara originally, as it takes us back to where we started with Bikias last week, how did the Gemara initially enter into the world of Chanukah? Well, what was the opening issue? And this was the segue from Ner Shabbos. All of you who daven Mitzvah Ashkenaz know it well. All the rules, opening Mishnah, the second paragraph of Shabbos, all the rules about what? Which oils and wicks are acceptable for Shabbos and which are not? Well, because for Shabbos, it's not enough to have something that mistama lights. You have to have something that's super reliable. So the Gemara says in the bottom of Chaf, Aleph, Amud Aleph, Gemara wants to know all these rules we have in the Mishnayos about Psilos, Shemanim, Shamar, Chachamim, Eim, Adlikim, and Shabbos. Those wicks and oils that the Chachamim told us you may not use on Shabbos. You can only use grade A wicks and grade A oils. But you cannot use grade B. They're pretty good, but they're not great. That was the list of the Mishnah. You cannot use as wicks. You cannot use lechesh or chosen or kalach. You can't use the algae. And then in terms of fuels, you can't use wax. You can't use this type of oil and that type of oil. As an aside, Tosis has a discussion about wax candles, which they think the famous Tosis, the Baal Chafam Beis. They quote the B'nai Narvona in Narbon. In Narbon they held that you cannot use wax candles based on the Mishnah. Tosis explains why they disagree. So we assume the halacha that you can use wax candles even for Shabbos. Even for Shabbos, that's what Tosis discusses. But whatever it is, we assume as much as the wax candles, not wax chips, might not be grade A, but a well-formed wax candle. Tosa says that is grade A. It's reliable. It's acceptable even for Shabbos. But the things that are not acceptable for Shabbos, can I use them for Ner Chanukah? So the Gemara had a double machlokas, a three-way machlokas. The way Rashi understands the Gemara, there's two separate issues going on. That's a simple reading of the Gemara, certainly. The Gemara wants to know, can you use these waxes and these wicks and oils, the grade B wicks and oils that you may not use for Ner Shabbos, can you use them for Ner Chanukah during the week? And can you use them for Ner Chanukah on Shabbos? What's the issue? So the Gemara highlights two issues that are fundamental issues that are at play. One of them is, the way Rashi explains, if I'm going to use grade B wicks and oils during the week, so some say yes and some say not. What's the issue? What will be wrong with using grade B wicks and oils during the week? Gevaldik. So Rabbi Winston Shlita points out that the Gemara says that the underlying, the later Amoraim said, the early Amoraim, the first, second generation Amoraim are arguing about this, Rav Chista, Rav Huna, Rav Asi, depending on the Girsa, and the later Amoraim are working on explaining what's going on. So they say, oh, during the week, the child is exactly as you said, Kavsa Zakakla, Kavsa Ein Zakakla. Kavsa, that sounds like one long phrase, but it's actually a two-clause sentence. Kavsa, if it went out, l'chabos is to extinguish. Kavsa, if the Ner Chanukah went out, I lit the Ner Chanukah. But then it's supposed to light, as the Gemara goes on to say, for a certain period of time. It's supposed to light until Tichla Rekam and Ashuk. So I lit it. And as the Beis HaLevi explains, I lit it with enough oil that it should have lasted that long. And it probably would have lasted that long, but it was a fluke, and it went out. Or someone opened the door, and there was a gust of wind, it went out. So I did a good hadlaka. I did a hadlaka that seemed like it was equipped with enough oil and good wicks, and it should have lasted that long, but it didn't. Am I yotze, or have to relight? Kavza, if it went out, zaker klo. Are you still connected? Do you still have to go back and relight? You're not yotze unless you keep it lit the whole time? Oh, no, you did your ma'aseh laka. You're good. I went out later. I went out later. I did my thing. Sounds like it's a machlokas. The simplest way of understanding it is it's a machlokas, whether it's a chiyuv, whether Ner Chanukah, when Chazar Masakin Ner Chanukah, whether Masakin is a chiyuv ma'aseh, chiyuv totza. Do I just have to do a good act of hadlaka? Whatever happens later, happens later. But it type of hadlaka had enough oil, should have lasted for the requisite half hour, whatever the period of time is. It went out for some reason. Okay. I did my hadlaka. Once it goes out, I'm not chayav to relight it. I already did my hadlaka, yotze. Or you say no. And the mitzvah is not to do a hadlaka, not the chovas maisa. The mitzvah is to see to it that it is lit for that period of time, to have the display at my door, to have the display in my window, to have the display on my table. So it's very nice you did a hadlaka, but if it goes out, you're not yotze. The mitzvah isn't to do a hadlaka. The mitzvah is that should be dalek. The mitzvah chovas totza means that the chiyuv to have a certain result. I need to have it lit. But that's, I think, the simplest way of rephrasing chovas hazakakla, chovas hainzakla. Of course, this will bring tingles to all those who enjoy Lamed Shishrach. If you want to, Chovas Mais, Chovas Totsa is somewhat cognate. So is it a Chiv Gavra, Chiv Heftza? Okay. Sure. That seems to be, and the Gemara says, look, if it's just a Chovas Mais, and if it goes out, you're not Mokhiv to relight it, so then you can use the grade B oils and grade B wicks during the week, because it's the sort of thing that Mestama lights well. Okay. And the off chance, I don't know, Chveis, five, would make up numbers, 5-10% chance it goes out, you're still Yosa anyways. You're not Mokhiv to relight it. But if you hold Kav Sazakakla, so then if we give you a wick, if you use a wick or oil where there's a significant minority chance they'll go out, and if you're poshe, you don't relight it, we're in Yotze, that's a dangerous place to be. Okay, so that's what the Gemara says, that this practical machlokas, whether you can use the grade B wicks and oils during the week, hinges on a fundamental conceptual machlokas, whether kafsa zakakla or kafsa ein zakakla. Which again, as we said, practically speaking, that means am I mechuyev to relight if it goes out? And fundamentally, you know, is it a chovas maisa or is it a chovas totsah? Now, if I would have asked you without showing you this Gemara, without you seeing this Gemara on your own last week, if I would have asked you, well, if a Ner Chanukah goes out before the time, the Gemara says in Chafav Meiz, it's supposed to remain lit as long as there's traffic on the street. So if it goes out before, then you mechuyev to relight it. Is Ner Chanukah a mitzvah maisa hadlaka or a mitzvah tosah that there should be a Ner Dalak? Which would you have guessed? The latter. Why? Suminisa, right? The Gemara. Who told you that Ner Chanukah is for Suminisa? My third grade rabbi. Who told you Ner Chanukah is for Suminisa? So it is a Gemara later. Gemara deeper into the sugyas. Here on Chav Gimel Amid Beis. Chav Gimel Amid Beis. The Gemara is discussing triage. Let's say a fellow is financially very, very tight, and he can't afford to fund all the mitzvahs that he has to do. Ner Chanukah costs money. Baruch Hashem, we live nowadays, relatively speaking, in incredible affluence, even if one does not feel relative to one's neighbor's affluent, but relative to the last couple of thousand years, we live by and large in incredible affluence. And the question of can I afford enough oil for Ner Ishu Beso is usually not a question. But there have been times when, for a significant number of Jews, that was a question. So the question is, I'm financially tight. I can't afford wine for Kiddush and oil for Ner Chanukah. The oil for Ner Shabbos, that's going to take precedence, Shalom Bayis. Okay. Gemara says that's, Shalom Bayis takes precedence. But how about a Ner? So I have enough, I put aside a dollar for my Ner Shabbos. I have one more dollar left. Am I going to use the second dollar for Kiddush or for Ner Chanukah? Gemara says, it's a good shiloh. Back and forth. Shabbos is very important. And Shabbos is Tadir. Shabbos is every week. Ner Chanukah is a rarer mitzvah. The Gemara says, ultimately, Ner Chanukah takes precedence because Persumei Nisa. The goal of Persuma Nisa is so critical that you're going to take a pass on making Kiddush in order to be able to fulfill Persuma Nisa. That's what the Gemara says, Chavdim Amarav, near the top, that the goal of Ner Chanukah is Persuma Nisa. The goal of Ner Chanukah is Persuma Nisa. What's the Persuma Nisa that goes out 2 minutes later? I understand well why the Gemara says in Chafal from Beis that the Zman HaMitzvah is Achetev HaRag and Mashok, as long as there's an audience outside. Like Kerouac was talking today to the audience. As long as there's an audience outside, I have to have the Ner Chanukah showing. What, and he mentioned the Machlokas Briskerov and others. Is that just a sheer Zman, or if you happen to live in an area, you live across the street from the theater, and the people are out till 1 in the morning, you live in an apartment facing Amsterdam Avenue, and people are out Kol Yom V'Chol HaLayla, so that and longer. But either way, clearly the point is it should be Daluk, as long as there should be Daluk, it should be lit so that your audience sees it. Davar Pashit, it's a Chovas Totzah. That's question number three. The Shita that Kavsa Ein Zakagwa, which equals Chovas Maisa, is shocking. What does that mean? This is shocking. It's Gemara. What does it mean? And finally, question number four. Fear kashas. Even though it's not Pesach, fear kashas. The fifth kasha is, what's the fourth kasha? The fourth kasha is one that Rishonim engaged with extensively. And that is that the other half of that opening Gemara, Chafal from Rav to Chafal from Beis, one issue the Gemara said was, cups of Zakukla and Zakukla. What was the other issue the Gemara mentioned? You can't. Are you allowed to light with the grade B, wicks and oils for Ner Chanukah on Friday night? Ner Chanukah on Friday night. So Rashi says kafsa zakla in zakla is irrelevant because you're not going to light it. Because you have no chiv to relight it on Shabbos. So what's the issue? So the Gemara says, what's the issue there? The issue is whether asul l'shtamish l'ora or mutul l'shtamish l'ora. Am I allowed to use the light? Am I allowed to use the light? So then, it's a Ner Chanukah. It's a Ner Chanukah. If I'm allowed, we're used to the Psak Halacha is also Shtam Shlora, as we say in Aneris Halo. But the Gemara raised that as a question. It was Machlok Zavram. Okay, we paskin also. But there are Amram who said Mutter, and those Amram who said Mutter Shtam Shlora said, ooh, you have Ner Chanukah, beautiful Ner Chanukah, you're allowed to use it. So then we're worried what's going to happen. Let's say I'm sitting there and reading or looking, whatever I'm doing with the Ner Chanukah, I'm learning, I'm eating, whatever it is, I'm relying on the Ner Chanukah, and then it starts to flicker. So back in the days when people knew how to handle, we know how to handle electric lights. We know how to flip the switch, because that's our lighting. Once upon a time, lighting technology was the gas lamp or the oil lamp. So back then, you knew how to. Right? Just say right now, if your bulb is flickering, you might automatically go over and see if you can tighten it, or else you'll switch it. You know what to do. So back then, they knew what to do when the oil lamp was flickering. You poke it a little bit, straighten out the wick, do what you got to do, and all of a sudden, it's beautiful again. You did it automatically. The problem is, Shabbos Kodesh, you're sitting there using the Ner Chanukah. If you hold Mutar Shtamash L'Or, if you hold that you're allowed to use Ner Chanukah for your own use, so you can be sitting there with the Ner Chanukah, learning, reading, snacking, whatever it is, and it starts to flicker. Without a second thought, you reach up and tweak the wick, and all is good. Except that all is good with the light. That's horrible. That's not all is good. That's terrible. So, if you hold Mutter Shamash L'Or, if you hold that that's a possible scenario that you could be sitting there by the Ner Chanukah using the light, then we better make sure that your light is not going to flicker. Then we better make sure, as with Ner Shabbos, Ner Chanukah also on Shabbos, it has to be the highest quality wicks and oils, so that way we're not worried that you're going to Chalila end up being Mechal Shabbos accidentally. But we hold Asur L'Shtamash L'Or. We hold you're not allowed to use the light. Oh, not allowed to use the light. So then, you're not going to be sitting there relying on the light. It's just something over there that you're looking at. It's not like you're busy learning, reading, eating, and the light is flickering. So we're not worried that if it starts to flicker, that you're going to automatically, without thinking, fix the wick. So because we hold Aser, L'Shtamish L'Ora, because we hold Aser, L'Shtamish L'Ora, so that's why we hold, you're allowed to use the lower grade, the grade B wicks and oils for Ner Chanukah on Shabbos. So that's the sugya on Daf Chafal. Machlokes Amoraim.
What's the question?
Oh, so what's the question? So if he stopped here, it'd be great. The question is, the Gemara seems to have the same conversation an Amud later, as though nothing ever happened. Right? Here you had, here in Daf Chaf Aleph, and then on Daf Chaf Beis. Right? On Daf Chaf Aleph, the Gemara said, who holds what? Rav Huna says, Mutter Leshtamish, La'ora. And Rav Chista, turning the Amud, also says, Mutter Leshtamish, La'ora. While the third sheet in the Gemara, because they both hold that on Shabbos, you're allowed to use the grade B, you're not allowed to use the great B wicks and oils. Then Rav Zeira Amar Rav Masna, Rav Zeira Amar Rav, that no, you are allowed to use the lower grade stuff on Shabbos. Aser l'shtamish lower. That's the machlokas on Dav Chaval. Rav Zeira, Masna, Rav. Okay. Mutl shamashar, aser shamashar. Question is, and the nafka mina is for the psilos and the shmur. The grade B psilos and shmur. Then you come to Daf Chaf Beis Amud Aleph, an Amud later, and the Gemara has a whole discussion. Are you allowed to count money, Lara Ner? Amar Yud Amar Vasi, and some have the Girsa Amarav, some don't, it's kind of the side. Asla Hartzos Mos, Kenegan Ner Chanukah.
Hartzos Mos. Can I count money by the Ner Chanukah? So, who were the names again? Rav Yehuda, Rav Asi, and perhaps Rav. They say, Asa, now I'll use it. Who says Mutter? Shmuel. Shmuel says, what's the problem?
There's no Kedusha.
What's the big deal? There's no Kedusha to the Ner. So what's wrong with counting money? La'ar ha'ner. But then ultimately the Gemara rejects him because Rav Yosef explains it's not an issue of Kedusha, it's just an issue of Bizayon. He says, it's a Bizu Mitzvah. You saw that Gemara.
Yosef shows that Bizu Mitzvah is a concern b'chol Torah Kula. We learn from Kisi Adam. It applies to Sukkah, you're not allowed to nash. If you have edible sukkah decorations, you're not allowed to eat them over the course of Chol HaMoed because of the Bizayon HaMitzvah. And that's why also you're not allowed to count money, Lar Haner, because it's a Bizayon HaMitzvah. So Shmuel had this brief line that, well, there's no Kedusha, what's wrong? And he is soundly rejected. So you look at this, and you're in shock. I understand. I have a sugya chaf aleph. I'm an aleph on the days. A machlokas whether you're allowed to use la'ar ha'ner or not. Some amram say yes, and some amram say no. The Gemara doesn't come to clear maskana. Okay. And nafgamina for the wicks and oils that you use. Shayin, hilchos Shabbos. Good. And then the Gemara starts the same discussion all over again, as though we never had it. The sukkahs aren't talking to each other. There may or may not be an overlap of Rav, depending on the girsa. Okay, at least Rav is lined up in both cases. If you have the girsa of Rav and Chavez as well, he in both cases says you're not allowed to use the R on there. But where on Chav Aleph, Gemara seemed to have left as an open machlokas. On Chavez, we very rapidly shut Shmuel down. And moreover, there's no overlap. The Gemara Chav Beis doesn't mention Chav Aleph. The Gemara Chav Aleph doesn't mention Chav Beis. There's no overlap in terms of Nafka Minas, Psil Sir Shmanim. It's only mentioned Chav Aleph. And Lahar Tzmos, I mention Chav Beis. Very, very strange. Sometimes you have the same sugya in two different mesechtas. Even there, you would be a little surprised if there isn't overlap, if there isn't interplay between the sugyas. Beir Mamish, from one Amud to the next, you know, hold the Gemara open like this. You're looking at both sugyas at the same time. They're not talking to each other. Very, very strange. Yeah.
Perhaps is there a difference in the fact that Chavez is specifically discussing counting money, which isn't really anything
over? Gewaldig. Gewaldig.
The Pincha says, we're going to have to figure out how we're going to differentiate them. It's hard to imagine. This is what we've shown him take this approach. Obviously, they're not talking about the same case. Think like a Balatosis. It must be there are different cases, there are different levels, there are different cases, there are different scenarios. They're both talking about can you use the Ner Hanukkah or not, but it must be this is case A. This is type A, and this is type B. So what's type A and what's type B? So which Rishon did you see who addresses this extensively and directly? Balamor. That's right, the Balamor. Take a look at the Balamor inside. We're going to get to the Rambam as well. The Rambam also addresses it, although more subtly. Take a look at the Balamor. The Balamor appears in the bottom of the Rif. The Ran on the side of the Rif quotes the Balamor as well. Lamanda Omar, also the Shtavish La'ora, the one who says that on Chav Aleph, of Masna B'Shem Rav, that you can't be Mishtamish La'ora, Kol Tashmish B'Mashma. That includes any type of use. Afilu Tashmish D'Mitzvah, V'Tashmish Kedusha. Even something, you notice he's borrowing the language of Megillah Daf Chavav, but he's using it loosely. Even to use it for a mitzvah, for some holy purpose. Why? Mishum De'Kasavar, you know, let's hold off for a moment. Let's skip for a moment to the third line. Laman da'amar asa la'artzos ma'oz k'neged ner shel Chanukah. On da'af of beis, we say, not allowed to count money by the ner Chanukah. Dav ka'artzos ma'oz, the chayotzibah. That's specifically counting money, or chayotzibah, something similar. Shehi tashmish rishus v'shel chol. That is a secular purpose. It's not evil to count money. We're not anti-capitalist. Money is not necessarily evil. Money is not necessarily good. Money is money. It can be used well or poorly. It's a tool. So counting money is not an aveira. It's also not a mitzvah. Maybe if you're counting tzedakah money, maybe it's a tashmish mitzvah. Stop. I want to see how much money I have. So that's a fine thing to do, but that's a tashmish chol. So he says, oh, the Baal HaMa'or, Rabbeinu Zrachi HaLevi, says that case number two is a tashmish chol. Davcha Beis is a tashmish chol. Money! Money, oh! To count money, what's the problem? What did Gemara say there? What's wrong with counting money? Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Shmuel said, I understand. The Ner is no Kedusha. What's wrong with counting money? La HaNer. Right, which is consistent with the Gemara Megillah. Not Kedusha. Rabbi Yosef said, that's true, but B'Shas HaMitzvah, the problem of B'Zayin HaMitzvah. So the Baal HaMa'or says, that's what we're talking there by doing a secular, using it for a secular, mundane purpose, a neutral purpose. Tasha Shurashus v'shalchol, the second last line, the first paragraph of the Baal HaMa'or. Uke de pirish time is, the Gemara goes on to make explicit. The reason is Mishum Bezu Ye Mitzvah. Oh! So on Dav Chavez, we're only saying to use it, the holy Ner Chanukah Shal Mitzvah for a secular purpose, that's disgracing, disrespecting the mitzvah. You can use a davar shal mitzvah, chetzah shal mitzvah for a secular purpose, but where's your kavod for mitzvahs? It's not enough for a Jew to do mitzvahs, you have to have kavod for mitzvahs. That's what the Gemara says, chabezim, if we learn from kisi adam. You can do as effective a job of kisi adam with your foot as with your hand. The blood is already, the blood of the dam hashchita of the oaf or the chai is already on the floor, right on the ground. You have a mound of dirt next to it that you prepared before. And you can just kick over that dirt with your foot, and you will have done a fantastic job of technically doing kisi adam. But the Gemara dashes from a pasuk, you mechuyev do with your hands. Why? When you shech, you have to use your hands because you don't have the dexterity in your feet to shech. But with kisi adam, you can do a very good job with your feet. LMI, yeah, you might do a technically good job of doing getting the job done if the job is just a job. But this is a mitzvah. This is Rabbi Yishlam's expectation of you. You have to show respect. It's the mechab of the mitzvah. Use your hands. Lean over and use your hands. Don't do kisa down with your feet. And that becomes the, as the Gemara says, that becomes the paradigm, the source, b'chol tar kula, that's not enough to do the mitzvah. You have to be mechab of the mitzvah. So that's what the Gemara said.
On Chabez, that's why you can't count money, La'ar HaNer. Balmar says, beautiful. To count money, a secular activity, La'ar HaNer, that's a bizayin to the mitzvah. That's like doing kisat down with your feet. But to eat a Shabbos suda, La'ar HaNer, says the Balmar, going back to the beginning again, to eat a Shabbos suda, La'ar HaNer, tashish the mitzvah, tashish to learn from a sefer, to learn Torah, La'ar HaNer, that's not bizayin. I'm using one mitzvah for another mitzvah. That's not disrespectful. Oh, so he says, case B, case number two, that Chavez was about doing the Tashma Shol. And the issue was, and the reason why it's a problem, and this the Gemara says, L'chul, Gemara seems to say, is also L'chul Yama, Shmuel is very quickly rejected. Why? Because of Bizayim. Bizayim HaMitzvah. Tashma Shol, Bizayim HaMitzvah. He says, how about going back to that Chaval, says the Balama? The case where it seemed like it was, we ultimately come to the maskana. We showed him come to the maskana that we pass an also status for Ora. But the Gemara doesn't present it as an open and shut case. Rav Huna, Rav Chista said otherwise. The Gemara didn't shoot them down. They only shot down Shmuel and Avchabez. Why? They must be talking about a case that where there's more argument to be made that it is taka mutter. Why? He said, now go back to the Balamar. Now go back to the top of the Balmar. Lamanda Amar Asul Ishtamish La'ora Shal Ner Chanukah. The one who says even a Chaf Aleph Asul Ishtamish La'ora, that means Asul Ishtamish absolutely. Kol Tashish B'mashma. Chavez say now I count money. He didn't say he can't do anything. Say he can't count money. The Tashish Chol. But in Chaf Aleph we say Rav says Asul Ishtamish La'ora can't use it at all. At all meaning even Tashish the Mitzvah, a Tashish the Kedusha. You can't. Rav Huna Rav Chisda say you're allowed to learn La'araner, you're allowed to eat a Shabbos La'araner. Rav Zera, Rav Masna, Rav, they say, no, you can't even do a mitzvah La'araner. Which position is problematic? Which position is tzarech bir? Which position needs an explanation? Al Chavav? Huh? So, Rav Huna Rav Chisda, I understand well. B'zayin Al Chavav, B'zayin Mitzvah, mandates you have to avoid Tashmish Chol, but if it's Tashmish Kiddush, Tashmish Mitzvah, it's not Avi Zion, I understand well why it's Mutter. What's Takip Shah in the Asul Shamish Laura? What's wrong? It's not Avi Zion. So the Balmar says we need to explain that. And we better explain it. We doubly need to explain. Not only do we need to explain that Shita, that's how we paskin. So what Taka is Pshat? It's not Avi Zion, it's Tashmish Mitzvah. So what's wrong? There must be another layer to this. That's what Balmar says. That the case on Chaf Aleph, the first case, is a Tashmish Mitzvah. So there's no Bizayim. Ein Bizayim. And therefore it's a Machlokes, whether it's Asa Mutter. We hold Kaimalan, the Asr, why? Why is that that Reb Zeira says also Shtamash Laura, and we pass in like that. Oh, there must be reason number two. There's another factor at play. What's the other factor, says the Baal Amar? The Mandama, again from the top of the Baal Amar. Mandama is also Shtamash Laura, Shaner Chanukah. The Shita on Chavalev, Reb Zeira, Reb Masna, Rav, that you're not allowed to be Shtamash Laura at all. Kol Tashimash means not just not counting money. Even Tashish the Mitzvah, Tashish Kedusha. Why? Mishum de Kasavra came in Shem Zecher Leneiros L'Shem and Shal Heichal Asuros Hein Bana Kol Iker. Because they hold, and we hold, that's how we paskin, that since it's a Zecher L'Mikdash, it's a Zecher for the Neiros, the oil of the Beis HaMikdash, it's Aser Legamre, Aser Bahana, even to learn from a Sefer, even Suda Shabbos, Suda's Mitzvah, it's all Aser. Because it's Zecher, if one issue was Bizayon, the other issue is Zecher Leneiros, Shevehechal. Now let me ask you a question. What does that mean? We understand now that we read the Balmar this way, we understand what it is he's trying to accomplish. He's trying to explain why, in order to miyashiv the steer between the two sugyas, he had to say it's about two different cases. He had to say, then Chavez is talking about Tashmish Chol, the heart of the mouse, and the issue is Bizayin, as the Gemara says. So it must be a Chavala if we're talking about Tashmish Mitzvah, where there's no Bizayin. But that's why there are those who say Mutter, because it's not a Bizayin, it's not a Tashmish Chol. And we say Aser must be for an additional reason.
So what could make it usher to use Ner Chanukah when it's not a bizayon? So the Alvar came up with a new reason. What's the reason? Zecher l'neiros. How does that explain it? How does the answer? That's the question. Zecher l'neiros is a nice phrase. And therefore, yes, I know that this reminds me of the neiros in the bizayon. And therefore, so asur is hein b'hanah kol ikar. He said, it's an utter iser hanah. So, Rjolti points out,
as do others. You know what the Baal Amar is saying? He's saying something fascinating that, as Rabbi Kongs were mentioning 2 days ago, you have to learn more Gemara, and then you figure out what's going on. Take a look at the Gemara Rosh Hashanah, Mishnah Gemara Rosh Hashanah, Laman of Beis, beginning of the fourth parak. You have in the Mar Makremis in front of you. A very, very, very important concept. Here we're near the beginning of the we were previously near the beginning of the fourth parak of Megillah. Now we're near the beginning of the fourth parak of Rosh Hashanah. Mishnah says Barishona the Lamed Amen off near the bottom. Barishona Yalul of Nitzav Mikta Shiva v'Medina Yom Echad. In the olden days, you would shake lulav in the Mikdash for 7 days, both the first day of Yom Tov and the following 6 days of Chol HaMoed. With Medina outside the Beis Hamikdash in the Medina. Outside Beis HaMikdash, you would shake lulav only the first day. Why is that? Because the Torah says, "Ulakach tulchem b'yom harishon." You look in the Chumash, in Parashat Emor, the Torah says that the mitzvah of lulav and esrog is a one-day mitzvah. Just like shofar is a one-day mitzvah, min haTorah. Lulav and esrog, min haTorah, a one-day mitzvah. The Chumash says it is not a Chol HaMoed mitzvah. It's a Yom Tov mitzvah. The first day, Min HaTorah, there's 1 day of Yom Tov, Sukkot, and then 6 days of Chol HaMoed, then 1 day of Shmi Atzeres. So the Chumash says, on the first day, Yom Tov, you will come to Lachem, Yom HaRishon, Pri Yetzadar. The Chumash doesn't say you shake lulav on Chol HaMoed, except in the Beis HaMikdash. Usmachtem, Lufnei Hashem, Elokeichem, Shiva Saman. If you're Lufnei Hashem, if you're in the presence of Baruch Shalom, Beis HaMikdash, then you have the Simcha of Lulav and Esrog for all 7 days of Chol HaMoed also. Min HaTorah. Min haTorah lulav and Chol HaMoed is only a Beis HaMikdash phenomenon. That's what it says in the Chumash. And the Mishnah says, that was always the din, because that's what it says in the Chumash, and that's what Jews do. You follow what God tells us. You want to hear 1 second, but I'm Jewish, and I don't do that. I'm Jewish, and I shake lulav and Chol HaMoed. So what's that all about? So the Mishnah says, because we're Jewish, and we follow what the Torah tells us, and part of what the Torah told us is to also follow Dinim Drabanan, that are duly enacted by the Chachamim. Mishachar Beis HaMikdash, Hiskin B'Yochav Ben Zakeh, Shei Lulav Nitzel Kol Shiva, Lulav Nitzel B'Medina Shiva. After the Churban Bayis Sheni, B'Yochav Ben Zakeh, remember the stories from Maseches Gittin, for the Kamsa Bar Kamsa Sugis, and B'Yochav Ben Zakeh was the one whom they had smuggled out of Yerushalayim to negotiate with Vespasian. He was the Nasi of the Sanhedrin, the leader of the Orthodox Jewish community, right before and right after the Churban Bayis Sheni. So Yochanan ben Zakeh was we know by his leadership beforehand, and here's part of his leadership afterwards. After the Churban Bayis, Yochanan ben Zakeh makes a takana that from this point on, Jews all over the world will shake lulav and esrog on Chol HaMoed. Because if you're trying to figure out why is it that I remember shaking lulav and esrog Chol HaMoed, it's not because the Chumash says so. Not the Chumash in Amor, because the Chumash in Chumash Devarim tells me to listen to the Rabbanim when they make a Takan Rabbanon, and this is a Takan Rabbanon. Yochum and Zakai was Hiskim Yochum and Zakai, Lulav Nitzel B'Medina Kol Shiva. Why? Why did he make that Takan Rabbanon? For what cause? So the Mishnah goes on to explain 2 more words. Hiskim Yochum and Zakai Shei Lulav Nitzel B'Medina Shiva. Why? Zecher L'Mikdash. To remember the Beis HaMikdash. And the Gemara immediately pounces on that. Where do you get this from? Who said that that's a valid cause? That's a just grounds for making a Din Rabbanan? Really? Is there a meaningfulness? I don't know. When you have a Beis HaMikdash, you do the Beis HaMikdash. When you have a Beis HaMikdash, we mean try to remember. It's important to remember the Beis HaMikdash. But to replicate the Beis HaMikdash, is that a good thing? So the Gemara says, where'd you get that from? Here we are at the very beginning of the Gemara, the bottom of Lamed Amud Aleph, in Maseches Rosh Hashanah.
The Omar Kra, they have a run through their Tanakh, and so should we. We ought to as well. The Amoran say, I'm passing in Yirmiyahu, and it appears handily on the side. The Allah Rukalach, Makosayak Erpaich, if Allah Shabbat says, I'm going to heal you. I'm going to grow a scab over your wound, that Kaddish Baruch Hu says to Kal Yisrael. Kinidacha karulach, tzioni, doesh einla. I'm sorry, this is not HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaking to Kal, it might be HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaking to Mikdash, to Tzion. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, they said tzioni, doresh einla. They said, look over there, there's Tzion, no one cares about her. Tzioni, doresh einla. That's the Pasuk in Yirmiyahu. Tzioni, doresh einla. Mean that's a problem. Miklal de Baya Drisha. Apparently you're supposed to be Dorish Tzion. It's a problem that we're not Dorish Tzion. You're supposed to show interest in Tzion during the time of Churban. We have a halachic mandate to be showing interest in Tzion. How do we show interest in Tzion? So there's one type of thing that we do called Zecher L'Churban. That's the end of Masechta Sota, the end of Cheskes Habatim. There are things we do to express our avelos over a lack of mikdash. You break a glass that's under the chuppah. And when you build a house and you paint the house, you leave one square amma unfinished, zecher l'churban. But there's something else called zecher l'mikdash. Not just to remind ourselves that we're in avelos, but to replicate and remember what mikdash life is like. That's what the Gemara says. This isn't the expression of avelos, adraba. Min haTorah, when you have a Beis HaMikdash, you shake lulav during on Chol HaMoed in Beis HaMikdash. We don't have a Beis HaMikdash. We're going to try to replicate that. The Zakkai says, Mitrabanan, now Jews all over the world are going to replicate the Mikdash Dikka shaking lulav on Chol HaMoed. And there are other examples as well. There are other examples of Zeichel HaMikdash as well. Zohar speaks about one of the mitzvah, a weekly mitzvah in the Beis HaMikdash was a mitzvah of bread. What was the weekly mitzvah of bread in the Beis HaMikdash? The chapanah, very good. Right, every Shabbos, every Friday they would bake a fresh set of lechapanim, two stacks of six loaves each. And the next day, on Shabbos, Kohanim would come in to the Heichal, walk over to the Shulchan, you have to have several Kohanim to execute this properly, and some of the Kohanim are coming with the fresh loaves to put on them. Shulchan, others are removing last week's loaves, and those loaves, last week's lech haponim, 8 days after they were baked, are given out to the Kohanim of the past week's Mishmar and the coming week's Mishmar to eat on Shabbos. Quote for a pasuk, I think in Yecheskel, lechem cham kiyom hilakha, there was a special nace that even though it was eight days old bread, that doesn't sound very tasty. That doesn't sound very edible. And yet it was mamish, like piping hot. Lechem cham kiyom hilakha. That was a nes in the Beis HaMikdash. It was incredible. Tasted incredible. 8 days. It had been baked last week at our Shabbos. Eat it now on Shabbos. Okay. So the Zohar says that we make that we have bread on Shabbos also, and it's zecher l'mikdash. We have 12 pieces of bread on Shabbos. Zecher l'mikdash, zecher to the lechem haponim. So by chassidim, the way they understand that Zohar, if you go to Rabbi Shatish, by some rabbis you'll see, the two big challahs and 10 little bukalach, 10 little rolls around it for a total of 12. If you go to some Lutfisha tables, you'll see the Graz approach to that Zohar, which is not Yud Beis challahs, but Yud Beis chatzoim. If every meal, every one of the three Suda Shabbos, you have Lechem Mishnah. The Macholkos and Tosas, whether you need Lechem Mishnah by Shal Shittas or not, and we are Machmer for that. And as the Gemara says, later in our Perek, in Ketz Mevarchim, Reb Zeir Batza Kula Sherusa, which according to the Rashba means that Reb Zeir would cut both Chalas on Shabbos, Lechem Mishnah, not just to hold them when you make the Bracha, that's where the Rashba understands. According to Reb Zeir, you have to actually cut them both. So if you cut them both, the Grub pointed out. So each of three meals, you have two loaves and you cut them both in half. It's a total 3 times 2 times 2. It's a total of Yud Beis Chatzon. Over the course of Shabbos, you have 12 official pieces of bread, which remind us of Zeichel HaMikdash
So the Yud Beis Lechem Haponim, the Kohen would eat in Beis HaMikdash on Shabbos. So says the Baal Hamor, this concept of Zeichel HaMikdash comes up by Lulav, maybe comes up by Lech HaPonim, and the other examples, Mirka Shtifa, and he says, here's another Beis HaMikdash activity. By the way, it could be the same Karbanos, might be a fantastic example, at least, of Zeichel HaMikdash, but in terms of actively replicating what they did in the Beis HaMikdash, you have Lulav, and you have maybe the Challah, and you have, says the Baal HaMar, not only do we make a Zeichel HaMikdash what happened on the Shulchan, we also make a Zeichel HaMikdash what happened across the way, the other side of the Eichel, the menorah. The Beis HaMikdash lit a menorah. So he says, Zeichel HaMikdash, we light a menorah. And we give it some of the same qualities as the menorah Shel HaMikdash. The Baal HaMar says, the actual menorah in the Beis HaMikdash, could you use that oil, that light for anything else? Me'ila, his mom is a hektish. It was hektish. That was real. Sirhana, min ha-Torah, says the Baal HaMar. Back in the Baal HaMar, he says, aha! And that's what Rav Zeira, Master Rav, are saying, Chafav v'amralev. That's the machlokas. Also, the Shtam HaShalor, but the Shtam HaShalor. Machlokas is the only issue in using the light, a general issue of Bizar Mitzvah. That's the position of Hun Rav Chista, in which case, counting money, tashmish chol, is a problem, but doing a tashmish mitzvah is fine, not a bizayon. Whereas the sheet that we pass, like from Zeir of Master, I'm saying, no, even tashmish mitzvah is a problem. Why? Because not just the issue of bizayon, it's aser bahana. Aser bahana. Why is this aser bahana? The answer is because it's a zeichel mikdash. Ooh. If there are masakin er Hanukkah as a zeicher to the menorah and mikdash, so then maybe it has the quality of an Yisr Hana. Maybe it has the quality of an Yisr Hana. And maybe not only does the Zeichel and Mikdash answer Kasha number 4, the Shechter points out also answers Kasha number 2. The Shiiltas had said that when the oil is done, you're done with Hanukkah, you can't reuse that oil for anything else. Why not? Why? Well, the oil of the mitzvah drabbanim ner Hanukkah is more chamor than the tzitzis, the sukkah, the lulav of mitzvahs deraisa? What's pshat? What does it mean? So the answer might be no. The answer might be the Shiiltas himself used the language of Asr l'hishtamish. Asr l'hishtamish l'ora b'shas hadlaka. Asr l'hishtamish b'ner b'shemin shabane even after the hadlaka, because it's zeichel mikdash. The Shiiltas, like the Baal HaMar, is saying, ooh, zeichel mikdash. And then we replicate some of the qualities of menorah shebeheichal. So it's Isra Nara from the light Bishas Hadlaka. It's not from the oil even after Hanukkah. Yeah.
In Rabbi Wiener's Sugyos.
Yes.
Shiuri that we had yesterday, he gave a slightly different answer for the second question.
Okay, talk to the Rambam.
Well, I forget who it was from, but we discussed that there would be a difference between when you're setting aside for the mitzvah, if you're expecting it to be burned out throughout the course.
Good. So some of the Very good. Some of the Hagos Maimon quotes, some of Baitosis has said that, correct. The problem is, it's true, the Hagos Maimon quotes the Maram, that depends if you set aside all this oil, did you think that it was all going to burn or not? But here's the problem. Even if you thought it would burn, and it didn't burn, so if I have a baguette of tzitzis, and I did use it for the mitzvah, but now I'm done, the mitzvah is over, I have an esrog, and I intended to use it for the mitzvah, and I did use it for the mitzvah, and now sukkah is over. So you're allowed to even make esrog jelly with it. So it's very nice that I intended to use this oil for the mitzvah, but it's still, why is it more chamor? It's true, it's somebody should make the chiluk, but that doesn't necessarily address this problem. Why is it more chamor than esrog? La'achar ha'chag. There is another approach as well. Yeah?
You're the expectation is you're going to be burning this oil and it's going to be gone. Versus the expectation is you still have your escrow after.
Yeah, but still, it hooks the mitzvasa. But still, it hooks the mitzvasa only as a tashrish mitzvah. So it's hard. It's still hard. It's hard to understand. If you take the Zeich HaMikdash approach, what's the historical ramification of Zeich HaMikdash? What is that? If the as Baal Mor is suggesting, the takana of Ner Chanukah was made as a Zeich HaMikdash, what historical chiddush does that indicate?
Yeah.
It implies specifically that Ner Chanukah, and this Rav Zsolti points out, if you think the historical implication of Baal Amar, Zeich HaMikdash means we're only misaking it after the Korban Bayis, like Lulav Kol Shiva, the Medina. If it was made as a Zeich HaMikdash, that means they're misaking Ner Chanukah much later. And that is a beautiful answer to the opening kasha. Ner Chanukah doesn't mention Ner Chanukah. Well, it mentions everything but Ner Chanukah. Isser Hesped, Isser Tainas, Halal, Alanisim. To us, it feels like you're dancing around the periphery of Hilchos Chanukah and you're missing the main dish. The answer is, this, Bremer said yesterday, this Brisa by Chanukah reads funny language. It's Aramaic Brisa, it's a very archaic type of Aramaic, Bahon, the language, Tamanaya Ignun. What's going on? It starts with a date. The whole thing feels different. If it feels different, that's you're feeling correctly. It is different. Where does the Brisa come from? This one they touched on the other week, that this Brisa is an excerpt from a much longer ancient work, one of the first works of Torah Shel Peh to be codified, maybe the first. The Megillas Tanis. Not Maseches Tainus and not Maseches Megillah, but Maseches Tainus makes reference. When you learn Maseches Tainus, they make reference from time to time to this ancient sefer that dates back to the Bayesheni, called the Megillas Tanis. Megillas Tanis was a calendar that the Chachamim of those generations put together. Of various Yamim told them that they had instituted over the course of the centuries of the Bayesheni, every time there was a repair or an improvement to what was going on in the Beis HaMikdash. When they took the time that they were able to seize control, the Beis HaMikdash back from the Tzedukim, were able to reinstate Shavuos on the right date. When they were able to repel a Roman invasion, the Beis HaMikdash, Yom Trayanus, Yom Bitukim Chad the Shvay, and so on and so on. The whole takes you through the year. Tishrei, Cheshvan, Kislev, Teves. I don't know if every single month, but it takes you. The Brisa goes through the entire year. Every paragraph begins with a date. Like B'chafe B'kislev, Yom Yidachak V'nayinun. They'll say, on such and such a day, of such and such a month, is Yom Trayamas. You know what happened Yom Trayamas? Here's the backstory. Here was a story, Shavuot. Sure. Megillas Tanis paragraph begins, such and such a day, such and such a month. Right, it'll name the Yom Tov, Tarkanu Midrabanan, the Yom Tov. It'll mention how chamor it is. Is it both an Isser Hesped and an Isser Tainus, or just one of them? That question, what degree of Simcha for Chazal Masak? And then I'll tell you the story. So this Brisa, if you remember Sechah Shabbos, it seems like this is a Brisa on its own. But in fact, remember Sechah Tainus, you see more of Megillas Tainus, you realize, no, this is an excerpt from Megillas Tainus. So number that explains the language and the wording that struck us as strange, starting with the date and the Aramaic and the old Aramaic and the way it's structured and the sort of front loading with Isser Hesped Betainus. And it also tells me, and this Brisa goes back to the period of the second Beis HaMikdash. And the Brisa is explicitly talking about the time of the Takana. L'shana acheres kevon v'ason yom tovim v'hal v'odah. The Brisa says explicitly, when it's talking about the initial takana of Chanukah. Oh, gevaldik! So therefore what? So Rav Zsolti says, you know why Ner Chanukah is missing? I'll tell you why it's missing. Because Ner Chanukah is only Niskan 200 years later or so, L'achar Churban HaBayis. The original time, Rav Zsolti suggests the original Chanukah for the first 100, 200 years for the balance of the Bayesheni period was Isser Hespet, Isser Tainus, Halal, and Alanisim. Zehu. Ner Hanukkah, Man Dechar Shemeh. We light Neris in the Beis HaMikdash. We didn't want to light Ner Hanukkah. It was part of the Megillas Tainus. La'achar Churban HaBayis. There was a subsequent takana to add what? La'achar Churban HaBayis. There's a subsequent takana to add Ner Hanukkah. Why? Why? So the Baal Amar said, Zechel HaMikdash. Ah, Rosh Hashanah Daf Lamed. Achar Churban, there was a need to be Dorish Tzion. Tzion he in Dorish on the Kal Dabai Adrisha, where so we show our interest, our enthusiasm for staying connected with Mikdash by replicating Lechem Panim, by replicating Lulav Kal Moed, and by replicating Hadlakas HaMenorah. So the Rav Zhalti says Rashi's take on the Braisa fits beautifully with the Baal Amar. If it's a Zechel Mikdash, so then the takana of Ner Chanukah must have been a layer of takana. Chanukah, the yontov of Chanukah, was Niskan, as the Braisa says, immediately, within a year or two after the Nisan of Chanukah. L'shan acheres, kavan v'ason yom tom, but only b'hal v'odah. And the Isser has been Isser Tainus. But not with Ner Chanukah. That would come 100, 200 years later, la'achar churban habayis, much, much later. Now, just to work that out a little bit, you might be wondering, but I don't understand, but I thought we said Ner Chanukah is because of Persumei Nisan. And now you tell me Ner Chanukah, it's not Kasher of Sholti, it's a Kasher of Baal Amar, right? You tell me Ner Chanukah is Zeichel HaMikdash, but we saw the Gemara Chav Gimel say Ner Chanukah is because of Persumei Nisan. And if it's Zeichel HaMikdash, so why were they only Misakein Ner Chanukah 8 days a year, 8 nights a year. But Menorah Shabbat Mikdash lit every night of the year. Summer, winter, fall, spring, Tishrei, Kislev, Av, every month, every week, every day, every night of the year, there was Hadlakas HaMenorah. So you look at the Baal Amar, you say, well, 1 second, I understand. What happened to Persumei Nisan? And what happened to so the rest of the year, if it's really like the challah, the czar with the challah, every single Shabbos, like in Beis HaMikdash. We don't have Hadlakas HaMenorah every single night. In the Beis HaMikdash, it didn't light the menorah at Hanukkah. Hanukkah is when they restarted lighting the menorah. So I think that we have to put it together as the following. The Gemara Megillah Daf Yudalid, we show and there have a discussion based on the Gemara, that to most of the time, Chazal make zeros to siyagim, mostly yisurim, to prevent you from violating the din d'oraisa. That's the most common type of din d'rabbanan. Every once in a while, you'll have what we often refer to as a takana instead of a gezerah, where they create a new, loosely speaking, create a new mitzvah. They create a new mitzvah of Nikkur Megillah, create a new mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, maybe they create a new mitzvah of Erev, or of Erev Tavshin Lev, Erev Chatzeres. So some of those mitzvahs also serve as siyagim, but some of them don't. Some of them are seeking to accomplish a new purpose. Really like a mitzvah rabbanon. And the Gemara says, in Megillah Daf Yudal, in the context of Purim, that's not so pashut to create a new mitzvah rabbanon. You really have to, it has to be well-sourced. Every gzeirah rabbanon also has to be well-sourced. It has to be a valid cause, but particularly with the takanas. And that was part of the debate right after the Nes Purim, whether or not it was warranted to create new yomtiv and to create new mitzvahs, do you have sufficient cause? They were looking to see to what extent is it rooted in ideas that already are in the Chumash, and this could be the expansion of that, and that would warrant you to, that would give Chazal the license, Mordechai and Esther, and the rest of the Anachrist HaGadolah, the license to misakein new mitzvahs of Purim. That's what the Gemara refers to as Kivuni Ledoros. The Gemara says, Esther asked Kisvuni Ladoros, write me for the ages, meaning to include Megillas Esther in the Tanakh. That was one issue with its own apparatus for thinking about that. What are the Chazal to think about and decide whether or not to canonize a Sefer into the Tanakh? And Kivuni Ladoros, Megill Yudalid, is to be Koveya the Yontif of Purim. There has to be valid cause for that. So it could be that's what's going on here also. Chazal wants to give me a misakein, a new yontiv with a new mitzvah a new mitzvah. To say, you'll say halal, that's clearly an extension of previous takanas of halal. And to say you'll give thanks, that's clearly an extension of ideas that exist on the level of Zayis. And to say no has been no tainas, that's an extension of Simchas Yontif. But to say hadlakas ner Chanukah, pursue menisa, it could be, Balmar would say, pursue menisa alone wasn't valid cause to misaka in the mitzvah. Oh, once the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed though, so now we go back to that idea we had had of ner Chanukah. That for the first 200 years, as the Rambam says, around 200 years, from Nes Chanukah until the Churban. So the first 200 years of Chanukah, they didn't have Ner Chanukah, because there was only one reason to misaken. That reason perhaps was not sufficient. Pirsu Menisa. Oh, but Achar HaChurban, now I have two reasons. There are two goals that I accomplish by laying Ner Chanukah. Number one, Pirsu Menisa. Number two, post-Churban, Zeichel HaMikdash. So Zeichel HaMikdash only began L'Achar HaChurban, and Persume Nisa only applies on the 8 nights of Chanukah. So it's only L'Achar HaChurban on the 8 nights of Chanukah that you have the intersection, the combination of both causes, of both bases for Ner Chanukah. It's only L'Achar HaChurban on the 8 nights of Chanukah that's both a Zeichel HaMikdash and Persume Nisa. Oh, so that explains, now, question number one. Now you understand why it's missing from the Braisa, because historically, according to the Baal HaMaor, and Rav's suggesting according to Rashi, they didn't yet have, Chazal had not yet been misaki ner Chanukah. Two stages to Takana of Chanukah. There's the original Chanukah B'tkufas HaMikdash, and then they added, L'Achar HaChurban, they added the, now that they had the combination of Persume Nisa and Zeichel HaMikdash, at that point they added this new mitzvah Rabbanah ner Chanukah. And that finally could also be Miyashiv Kasha number three. Kavsa Ein Zakagla. Why would Chazal have been misaking ner Chanukah as a Chovas Maisa? Persume Nisa warrants that it be a Chovas Totsa. It's all about, if it's all about Persume Nisa, shouldn't it obviously be a Chovas Totsa? The answer might be, I would suggest, maybe, according to this Baal HaMaor and Rashi, yeah, maybe that reflects the fact that it's also Zeichel HaMikdash. And while from Pirsumei Nisa's standpoint, you would think it should obviously be a Chovas Totsa, from the Zeichel HaMikdash standpoint, there's an argument to be made that should be a Chiyuv Maisa. Rav Shechter, there are more nafkiminas in this idea of Ner Chanukah being Zeichel HaMikdash as well. Shechter suggests, points out two achronim. The Avnei Nezer thought that you need, if you're lighting more than one ner, you'd be mahader. Avnei Nezer of the opinion, they all have to be in a single kli. You can't just have separate lamps sitting on a tabletop. You have to either be a single connected kli or at least within one tray. The base Yitzchak, the Tshuva's base Yitzchak, Yitzchak Shmelkis, suggested that you need a different chumrah. You need psila and shemen. You need to have separate distinguishable wick and fuel, as opposed to a Bunsen burner, which is just pure fuel in the wick, as opposed to an electric bulb, even an incandescent bulb, that's wick, but no separate visible, tangible fuel. So this is all with the approach of Zeichel HaMikdash. And let us finally, in the next 2-3 minutes, wrap it all together. The Rambam had disagreed. Over here, right? The Rambam had said explicitly not only that Hodah means Ner Chanukah. The Rambam had said explicitly in Gimel Gimel that the Chacham of Osodah were misaking Hadlakas Neros Chanukah. It should be noted that the Rambam Lishitaso, the number one, if you say Ner Chanukah was part of the original Takana, obviously it wasn't Zeichel HaMikdash. It's purely Persume Nisa. And that is why the Rambam argues on two of these other issues also. The Rambam disagrees. Also, the Shtamish Laora, he reads the Gemara the other way around. That's what you were saying when you were sitting back there. The Rambam says, seems to say, Adrabba, that you're not also the Shtamish Laora, and even, it's even usher to count money. So other Rishonim say that the Baal HaMaor presented money is worse because the Tashmish Chol, obviously also. The Rambam presents no. It's a chiddush that money is aser because it's a tashmish kal. It's a few seconds. I just need to see, is it a 5 or is it a 10? I want to see how many coins I have in my pocket. It's a 2 second use. The Rambam says, fakir. One discussion is, can I do a real ishtamshus? Mamash, just sit, eat a meal to read a book or a sefer, a long-term ishtamshus. But then the Gemara said, okay, I can't do a long-term ishtamshus. Maybe just to take a quick look, just to count my money for 2 seconds, maybe that should be okay. No, even that is also a bizayon mitzvah. So the Rambam disagrees in terms of how to understand that Zeichel Mikdash is not a relevant concept. And the Rif clearly, and that goes my man understands, the Rambam also disagrees about Moser, Shem, and Shebaner. As a matter of fact, the Rif, and the Rambam seems to also agree, that forget about using it for some other purpose after Hanukkah is over. Rif says, once you pass the Zman, that you lit your Neres Chanukah with extra oil, with enough oil to go, and then you pass Kol Sareg Nashuk, and your oil is still, your Ner is still going. The Rif says, go ahead, use it for whatever you want. Go ahead, use it wherever you want. Yeah, I mean, that's without the Shiltos, that's classic Milvil of Chabab. The Zman HaMitzvah is over, do whatever you want. And the Rambam seems to say that as well. And finally, I leave you with the following idea that we're going to take down to the Chagiga. In Halacha, we saw a lot of nafkaminas and a fundamental machlokas between the Rashi and the Balamar and the Shiltos on the one hand and the Rif and the Rambam on the other hand, whether Ner Chanukah is purely Persumei Nisa or also Zeichel Mikdash, with historical nafkaminas, with halachic nafkaminas, but in Hashkafa, they actually are remarkably aligned. Because for the Rambam, we had said, the Rambam had a different angle, you remember, on Ner Chanukah, which is his read of my Chanukah, was Ner Chanukah is Hoda'ah. As he says in Gimel Gimel, as he says again in Dal Yud Beis, which you have in front of you, I thought yesterday it wasn't here, but it is here, that Mitzvah Ner Chanukah is Lohodiya HaNeis, Pursu Menisa, Ulohosid B'Shevach HaKev HaHodayalo. Not only to remember the Neis of the past, but also to say thank you. So how do those two cohere? How do those two things hang together? How does Hoda'ah fit with Ner Chanukah? It's talking about the Neis that happened in the days of Chashmonon. So what the Rambam is saying, Rambam is reading into the Braisa, is that's not enough just to remember the history. There has to be a pivot to action. There has to be a pivot to the future. It's not enough just to know, oh, once upon a time there was a Neis. I have to react. It has to be deep enough that I feel grateful, that I feel thankful. It's not enough just to be passively know about things. It has to move me. Otherwise, I haven't accomplished Ner Chanukah. If it doesn't move me to feel great gratitude to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I haven't done what I'm supposed to do. Rashi, the Baal Hamar, the Shiltos, see another type of pivot to the future. And that is that, as we were talking about last night at the Chagiga, at our Mesiba, that like Rabbi Kiva says in about the Bracha V'Asher Galonu, like we say in Modin Drabanan, we talk about the past, and then we think about the future. We thank HaKadosh, we notice HaKadosh, we talk about the Nisim Bayom Mahim, the Nisim of the days of the Chashmonah, we're Mepharsim that Nes, and then we pivot from Pirsum Enisa to Zeichel HaMikdash. And not enough just to remember that over 2,000 years ago, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took care of us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us back a base on Mikdash, but we're davening and hoping and being Doresh, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should bring us back yet again in a permanent fashion, in Mirtz Hashem, very, very soon.